Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Eight in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We're going to recap the week in football. What an exciting week it was. We're going to be hearing from Timby Jones later in the hour. He's an author and he has a new book out, Football Travels. You can get that on Amazon.com. We're also going to be talking with West Coast Pat. He's going to be breaking down the Niners at a disappointing week. And the Raiders, they didn't lose. They look great. You know, that's why they didn't play, but they still didn't lose. So we're going to be talking about that with West Coast Pat. We're going to be hitting up other topics as well. Want to thank the NFL Draft Bible guys for having me on again. NFLDraftBible.com, great website. Check it out. We're also powered by All Access Football on Fantasy Sports Channel, FSC.fm. And I'd also like to thank collegefootballinsiders.com. Great support from them as well. So, week 9, what can we say? How do we even start this week? How about we start with the Chiefs? Larry Johnson, he's gone. That's probably the biggest move of the week. And this was pretty much, you know, they pretty much had it all decided that he was gone, so I mean, it's not really a big surprise, but still, to have that caliber of a player just cut like that in the middle of the season, it doesn't really happen a whole lot. But I would have to say that Larry Johnson deserved it after what he did. The gay slurs and, you know, questioning his coach and undermining the team. And, you know, he pretty much, if he wanted to get himself out of town, he did a great job of doing that. Now, the one thing we have to talk about now is, where do you think he's going to go next? That's pretty much the first thing I'm thinking of. And guys in the chat room, if you want to chime in, be my guest. But I think he's going to the Patriots. That makes a lot of sense to me. Larry Johnson, great running back, and the Patriots, they're a pass-first offense, and they use a stable of running backs. They have Maroney and Fred Taylor, and I think you could throw Larry Johnson into that mix, and that would be a nice little situation. He's going to come dirt cheap. They're not going to have to pay him a multi-year deal of, you know, in excess of a couple million dollars. They could probably get him on the cheap end, and they're not obviously going to have to trade for him because he's a free agent. So that makes a lot of sense for me. I'm trying to think of other teams out there that might be interested in a running back, and the Patriots are pretty much at the top of the line. Not that they need Larry Johnson, and that's the thing. That's why I think he would be a good fit for them, because if he doesn't work out and he undermines the coach and he does the same garbage that he did in Kansas City, well, you know, it didn't cost him a whole lot. So it's pretty much a bargain. If he actually produces, it's a steal. And if it doesn't produce, it's like, eh, you know, big deal. So there's my prediction. Mark it down. See if I'm right. I'm probably wrong. But you know what? I have a 1 in 32 chance at being right. So let's see if he ends up with the Patriots. Other news going on in the NFL. D'Angelo Hall gets in another fight. Surprise, surprise. You know, and here's the thing. If you guys didn't hear about this, there was a scuffle during the Redskin-Falcon game. Obviously, the Redskins suck, and they're really just, you know, playing out the string at this point. So LeRon Landry, the cheap shot artist that he is, he had to go hit Matt Ryan outside the lines, and like after he reached the sidelines, of course, that's what, I mean, you know, LeRon Landry, he's not good enough to hit people within the lines, so the only way he can actually get a hit in, because he's always out of position, is to, you know, hit them when the play's over. So that's the only way he could get his hit in. It was probably his only tackle of the game. And then a fight broke out on the sidelines, because obviously, you know, you want to knock out my quarterback. He's a franchise player. You're just jealous, Redskins, that you don't have a franchise quarterback. So you want to knock my guy out? So then obviously the Falcons took exception to that. And then the Redskins got involved, and there's a nice little pile, you know, fisticuffs and all that stuff. And then D'Angelo Hall finds his way into the melee, as he usually does. But he was shoving Mike Smith, the Atlanta coach. And Hall claims that the Atlanta coach tried to put his hands on him in a harmful way. But you know what, D'Angelo Hall, you've been involved in a lot of these things, so I don't believe anything you say. You know, it would be different if Jason Taylor of the Dolphins got involved and he said, hey, you know, Mike Smith, he's a dirty coach. He tried to hit me on the sidelines. You know, it would be different coming from a guy with some class, but obviously we're not talking about that. We're talking about D'Angelo Hall. So anything coming out of his mouth is not a believable statement. And Laron Landry, another guy who's not good, he had to go start the whole thing by knocking out Matt Ryan, popping him on the sidelines. And it's like, you know, guys, why don't you, like, take that anger and aggression and take it out on the other team within the lines? Then you might be a good team. But, you know, that's why the Redskins are who they are. So, D'Angelo Hall, I don't believe anything you say. You're an absolute liar. You can complain to the commissioner all you want, and I'm sure he won't believe you either because you have no credibility at all. Moving right along, Chris Henry, out for the year, surgery on his broken arm, and I was having some conversations with some people, and the reaction's kind of mixed. A lot of people think that Chris Henry's loss out for the year, that's going to be a big problem for the Bengals. And guys like myself, I don't think it's going to be a huge loss. I mean, he is one of the better deep threats in the slot, but you still have Carson Palmer, you still have Ocho Cinco, you beat Pittsburgh, you beat Baltimore, you're policing your own division pretty well, and you're taking care of business at home. They beat Pittsburgh at home, they beat Baltimore at home, and, you know, I mean, they're legit. They're absolutely legit, and obviously this will be a small setback, but they have guys that can step up. Coles had a good game against the Ravens Sunday. And they have, you know, they have Andre Caldwell. He's stepping up. He caught a touchdown in that game that they won 17-7. So, and obviously Cedric Benson is on his way to the Pro Bowl. So they have a lot of different ways they could beat you on offense. And, you know, just the fact that they didn't lose, you know, Carson Palmer, not trying to diminish Chris Henry. He's having a good year when he's not, you know, getting arrested. But, you know, when he can avoid arrest, he's decent. Let's just put it that way. But, yeah, and Brian Leonard's coming through for them. He's making a few plays. So they have options. They're not totally up the creek without a paddle, if you know what I'm saying. As I look at the stat line, Verdi's Cole 6-for-72. Ocho Cinco 5-for-66 with one attempted bribe. If you saw that, that was pretty funny. He offered a dollar bill to, you know, add on his receptions because there was a challenged call that went against the Bengals, and Ocho Cinco, he got a catch around the sideline area, but he didn't get 2 feet in, so he was trying to bribe the official. If you didn't see that, go YouTube it. It's pretty funny. Yeah, so they have other guys that can step up, and I'm not too, if I was a Bengal fan, I wouldn't be too worried about that one. So, go Bengals. Everybody knows they're legit. Everyone in the chat room, speak up, because I know you want to say something bad about the Bengals. Everybody else does. Oh, there you go. Gringo Star says, looks good for Andre Caldwell. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like an assembly line. A football team is like an assembly line. You know, once one part of it goes down, then the next part of it has to fill that gap and step up. And speaking of stepping up, the Step Up Award goes to Miles Austin. Miles Austin for the Dallas Cowboys. This guy is quite a story. Now, everybody's surprised, but I'm not surprised. Actually, guys, Miles Austin, who caught that touchdown pass to seal it for the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football against the division rival Philadelphia Eagles, I would be shocked if he wasn't doing anything. Like, if Miles Austin was a total non-factor, then I'd be shocked. Because this guy has been stepping up year in, year out, and he's done it little by little. He's been creeping up on that starting role, and now that T.O.'s gone, and Roy Williams is horrible, he's really showing what he can do. He was a big time contributor, and he's been doing this. It's pretty consistent now. You can't say that it was just one big catch. He's had multiple games where you look at him and you say, yeah, he's the best receiver on the field for Dallas. You know, not including Jason Witten. I still think Jason Witten is a better target because he's so consistent at it and he's been doing it for years. So, but in terms of wide receiver, he's clearly the number one receiver on that team. I don't think you can argue with that. Even Roy Williams knows. Roy Williams knows he sucks. We all know he sucks. And, you know, the tipping point, like I said, guys, with Roy Williams, when everybody was excited about him going to Dallas, I'm like, listen, man, Matt Millen drafted this guy. How good could he possibly be? You know, if Matt Millen thought he was good, that means he's bad. You know, that's just the way the world works. And that's the way it goes. So you're listening to 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob, powered by All Access Football. Want to give a shout-out to Tim B. Joes. We're going to be hearing from him later in the hour. You can pick up his book, Football Travels, on Amazon.com. And we're also going to be hearing from West Coast Pat. He's going to be breaking down the California love, the actionless Raiders, who, they didn't lose. So you can't really knock the Raiders this week because they were undefeated last week. You know, you got to look at it like that. So you can guys check it out on NFLDraftBible.com. You can check out CollegeFootballInsiders.com. And we're on the Fantasy Sports Channel, FSC.FM. We're going to be taking a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about Colts-Patriots.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros911.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our Fantasy Draft Guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros911.com for your Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome now.
Fantasy versus Reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
And we're back. We are definitely back. I'm your host, Football Rob. You're listening to 8 in the Box. And this just in, Lions might have a little feud. Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. According to the Associated Press, Jim Schwartz, the head coach for the Lions, why would you want that job? I don't really know, but Jim Schwartz says there's no feud between Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford during Sunday's game against against Seattle. Television cameras caught what appeared to be an uncomfortable exchange between receiver and quarterback. Stafford threw 5 interceptions and had 2 catches, 27 yards, da-da-da-da-da. So basically what happened, 2 guys jawing at each other because they're losing and the TV cameras caught it. I don't know why there were TV cameras covering this game because the Lions were playing the Seahawks. You know, I don't understand what was going on. Like, maybe they were looking for the other game in town, or maybe they were, you know, they had nothing else to do that week, so they actually showed up to this game. But apparently television cameras, they kept everything on the sidelines. It's unbelievable how television cameras can catch, like, every little thing that these guys do. You know, Mark Sanchez, a couple weeks ago, eating a hot dog on the sideline, they catch that. You know, if some players, like, they're adjusting themselves, they catch that. And, you know, somebody's picking his nose or blowing a snot rocket, they catch that. I mean, you can't do anything and think that, like, it's okay. You got to just be, like, keeping your head on a swivel when you're on the NFL sideline. It's unbelievable. So what would you say to this, guys? Would you say that there's a big there's a big rift there in Detroit, or would you say not a big deal? I would have to go with not a big deal, because they have a lot other issues to worry about. So, you know, this is like the 99 problems that they have to deal with. This is like problem number 97. You know, this is not really a big deal for them. The big deal is, like, can we win a game? Can we win, like, you know, we got 1 already, so we're definitely doing better than we were last year. We're 100% better than we are at this point last year. But can we win, like, 2 more the whole rest of the season? That's really more of an issue than, you know, a quarterback and a receiver exchanging words in an uncomfortable manner, quote unquote. So just wanted to throw that out there before we start talking about the real game of the week coming up, Colts-Patriots, man. This is why you're a football fan. This game right here, this is the whole reason why we follow sports. We got the best quarterbacks in the league going up against some pretty not good defenses. You know, you could throw on these defenses, and you could run on these defenses, but Bill Belichick, he always knows how to get the job done against Peyton Manning. I really like the chances of New England going into Indianapolis and coming out with a win. We have a caller on the line, 510, I believe. That's West Coast Pat on the line. Pat, do you have an opinion, Colts Patriots? I'm going with definitely going with the Patriots.
Yeah, history tells us that Belichick kind of has the Patriots number a little bit over the overall series, even when Dungy was there. I've got to, you know, smart money says you got to go with Belichick.
That definitely makes sense on my end, too, because it's just something about it. He knows how to cook up a defense that may get Peyton Manning uncomfortable. You know, that 3-4 flex defense. You have guys like Adalius Thomas. They could just, you know, they could play defensive end. They could drop back, and they all have smart linebackers that they're all in the right position at the right time. So it's going to be a tough game. But if you had to put some money on it, Pat, would you put your money where your mouth is? Would you go with the Patriots on this?
I'd go with the Patriots against that decimated secondary, the Colts. They've been getting away with they got away Sunday, obviously, but a little different caliber of team coming in this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So other things going on, what happened to your 49ers, man? They look good going up against Vince Young. I thought they were really going to throw some things out there and confuse him, but Vince Young, he keeps winning. What's going on with the 49ers over there?
Vince Young showed everyone that he's a very, very athletic quarterback in this league, and there were a lot of plays he made with his legs, buying time in the pocket. I thought his receivers and offensive line played outstanding. I think the Niners went into that game overconfident and got their you-know-what handed to them. I think that Alex Smith regressed a little bit. The Niners have got to really decide on if they're going to go with these two quarterbacks in the future, or if they're going to try to bring in a veteran, or what. But they can't get it done. Even though Alex Smith showed some signs of life the last few weeks, the bottom line is he still hasn't won a football game this season. So they've got to get that in order. And the defense, I think they're just putting too much pressure on the defense, and they just can't do it in the NFL over a long period of time like that, with the way their game plan is going.
So you think the offense hung them out to dry pretty much?
I think the offense is hanging them out to dry every week, unless they're just playing horrible football. You know, just to be honest with you, that was just a strange game. And then once you put pressure, Alex Smith came in against the Texans, and he didn't have any pressure. Hey, go out there, do what you do. They were down 3 scores, and he made some plays. And, and against the Colts, he kind of was a little bit anemic and didn't really turn the ball over a lot. They just couldn't make plays in the end. The Texans, that just caught me completely off guard. I thought, I was concerned, obviously, about the play of the quarterback for the Texans, Vince Young, because he's so athletic. But I thought that they could put enough together defensively to confuse him and maybe force him into turnovers. It went the other way. They confused Alex Smith.
Yeah, and Vince Young avoided the turnovers, and he's playing well. He's 2-0 as a starter this season after taking over for an ineffective Kerry Collins. So, Pat, we got to ask you now, do you believe in Vince Young, or is this just a blip on the radar screen? I happen to think it's a blip on the radar screen, and, once we see him play on a regular basis, you're going to see those mistakes come up. But how do you feel about Vince Young?
See, people look at the stats and look at the numbers. I'm a little bit of a wins-loss guy. Vince Young's got a pretty solid record, as a starting NFL quarterback. And, he's had some turnovers, throwing the football. But, see, those intangibles, when a guy's that big and that quick and can avoid, make first downs with his legs, sometimes, the turnovers you see on paper aren't conducive to what you see him doing with his feet. Vince Young makes a lot of plays, man. And will he be a Pro Bowl level quarterback? I don't think so. But can he be a solid NFL quarterback in this league? I think if you look at the big picture, he's better overall with his legs than a lot of guys are with just their arm. And so he may have a few turnovers. But I think that kid can make some plays. He's not gonna necessarily win you a Super Bowl, maybe. I don't think so. But I think he's got a shot to be a solid NFL quarterback. I really do believe that. I really do.
And, I was talking about Vince Young yesterday with a couple of buddies, and they believe that Vince Young has now taken over this team. And going into next season, there's a lot of talk. What do you think is going to happen? I think, personally, it's going to be an open competition at quarterback. But my buddies, they happen to think that Vince Young has this spot locked down for good now. How do you feel, Pat?
I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to say it's an open competition, like they always do. But the truth of the matter is that owner from day one wanted Vince Young. He's a Texas guy. There is no way that Vince Young is not the guy, especially if he continues to do what he's doing right now. They've got a good young nucleus of talent, especially at running back. Their receivers played really well Sunday, but I still think they don't have that guy at receiver. But I tell you, they look like they showed some glimpses the last couple of weeks of the old Titans. And, they're not going to make the playoffs because they started out so horrific. But they're going to finish up strong, I do believe.
There you go with the politics again, though. I mean, that's how the NFL is. You got that nailed down because the owner wants Vince Young in there, and barring a disaster, he will have Vince Young in there. So, even though I do, in terms of talent-wise and what they can do on the field, I think it should be an open competition at quarterback. But, yeah, now that I think about it, he was a third overall pick. He's a top draft pick, and the owner wants him out there. So, Kerry Collins, I think your days in Tennessee are pretty numbered. So, even though I changed my opinion on the fly, I reserve the right to do that. And you talked me into it, Pat. You definitely did. I wasn't feeling Vince Young for 2010, but now I am.
Yeah, that's just that. Tell you that the politics in the NFL are unbelievable. I'm gonna tell you something else about politics, also, there, Rob. Take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for example. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about Josh Freeman. Well, I tell you, that kid, if he doesn't have the it factor, I don't know what it is. He put something together in the second half that I hadn't seen too many rookies do. I mean, he was down 11 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and they won by 2 scores against the Packers. And that guy was making play after play after play. And I couldn't understand why they wouldn't, you know, why they wouldn't start him out of the gate. But that kid, you know, I don't want to get caught up in that situation like we did about Sanchez. And Sanchez is going to be okay also. But, you know, the caliber of opponent they played, the Packers, that guy shredded the Packers to death in the second half of that football game.
Yeah, Josh Freeman definitely looked like the real deal. But do you think it had something to do with those uniforms?
You know what? I like the uniforms, man. I thought Doug Williams was in the game.
Doug Williams? Oh, man. You're just throwing it way back.
But, yeah, that they might want to wear those at home and on the road if they can get away with
it. You're showing your age, man, when you bring up Doug Williams.
Yeah. But they look really impressive, and they don't even have – you know, Antonio Brown's not even back yet. I think he's going to be back soon, so – I'm excited, man, about these. There's so many young, good quarterbacks in this league, man. And it's, you know, it's impressive. I mean, the NFL, you know, when they talk about any given Sunday, man, they're not kidding.
No, they are definitely not kidding. You're listening to Eight in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We're talking with West Coast Pat. I want to thank the NFLDraftBible.com for having us on, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and also FSC.FM. The Fantasy Sports Channel. Everybody hit it up in the chat rooms. We got a nice little discussion going on. So anybody want to weigh in on some certain topics, just let me know. So we got to talk about the Giants, my man. They lost 4 in a row, and I think that was the most exciting game of the week because it came down to the last couple of minutes there. But you know a little something about San Diego. How do you feel about them going into Giants Stadium and coming out with a win?
Well, I thought the Chargers were, you know, the Chargers on paper have a very, very talented football team. They don't always, you know, play up to the level of the competition. But I tell you what, the Chargers are a dangerous, dangerous football team, and the Broncos need to be really careful right now. I mean, a lot of people expected the Broncos to – the Broncos played better, you know, out of the gate than we expected, but now the Chargers got their thing going. These divisional playoffs, I mean, these races for the divisions are heating up. I think the Chargers may come out of there in pretty good shape end of the season. The Broncos, that defense is impressive. They played lights out, but the Chargers, you know, right now they're starting to gel at the right time, and they seem to do this, Rob, every season. They start to gel right about now. Come November, they'll play strong December and be ready for the playoffs. They just can't get over the hump quite yet in the playoffs, but, you know, they're going to be okay. That division's going to be interesting.
You mean you don't like the Chiefs? I mean, they're coming around, right? Or they're looking good, aren't they? They just got rid of their best player.
Well, if Larry Johnson was their best player, then they were in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's the Chiefs are what they are. They, you know, I know right now Matt Castle's probably missing being a backup in New England. But,
yeah, he gets to stand on the sidelines and go undefeated versus playing for the Chiefs and running for his life on every single play. I think, yeah, Matt Castle did not make out like a bandit, except for the, you know, the nice little pay raise he got. But in terms of, you know, his health, I don't see him lasting the whole season there with that shoddy offensive line. But yeah, the AFC West is better than advertised. I was not looking forward to this division. I thought the Broncos during the off season, I thought they totally mangled their team, and it was pretty much going to be just the Chargers in a one-team race. But yeah, this is definitely shaping up to be something interesting. But I want to talk about your guys now. I want to talk about the Raiders. They didn't lose. They were undefeated last week. How do you feel, man?
Sunday was about maybe the second best Sunday they've looked.
Yeah, really.
But until Al Davis decides he wants to bring in a general manager, and that place is in complete disarray. And now Tom Cable, you know, he dodged a couple of bullets, and now he's got women coming out of the woodwork saying that he's been abusive. You know, he's putting a lot of pressure on Roger Goodell, because that conduct policy, you know, the way that handled Brandon Marshall, a lot of people are looking to see how he's going to handle the Tom Cable deal, because they've got stuff documented. It's different when you got a couple of ladies saying this and saying that, like a Roethlisberger deal. But when you got stuff actually documented, I can't see how this guy's going to be back next season.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, he might just get fired because they're just not good, you know. And then secondly, I mean, not only is the play bad on the field, but, you know, you got these kind of accusations, three different women. I mean, it's one thing. People say about you. Plus, you've already knocked an assistant coach. It's like, you know, what gives, man? Something, there's, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm anxious to see, because, you know, Al Davis, there are a lot of really big time coaches that are out there. You know, the Grudens, and Dungy's not coming back, I don't think, but you got Gruden out there, and, you know, you got Cowell
really
out there.
Wait, hold on, Pat. You really think John Gruden would come back to the Raiders?
No. He's just the first guy I mentioned. I mean, you know, like Cowell. Those coaches out there, Holmgren, those guys going to want some control. And I don't think Al Davis is willing to give that kind of control. He's got, I mean, the Raiders have some talent out there, Rob. They've got some real talent on that football team if they can get rid of that darn quarterback. But, you know, they've got some, they could win. They have enough talent to be competitive in that division. But until Al Davis decides to relinquish some of that control, they're going to just be the same old story.
Right, absolutely. And that's definitely a must-watch game next week. The Chiefs. Because I've been so busy focusing on this particular game.
Yeah, that's two really bad teams. You know, I kind of like the Raiders in that game for some reason. But, you know, that's two bad teams going at it. And, yeah, I don't know. Do you think Larry Johnson ends up somewhere else, or you think do you think he'll be out the rest of the season? Damn. I lost him.
And we are absolutely back here. I'm your host, Football Rob, and you're listening to 8 in the Box. We had some technical issues, but they have been resolved, and we're back on the air. Yeah, so Larry Johnson, definitely I'm looking at the Patriots as a possible landing spot. And, you know, if you guys want to weigh in, you can definitely do that. If you just want to sit back and chill out and listen, that's cool too. But That's what we're doing, and we're going to take a quick commercial break in just a moment. But, yeah, this is going to be a definite exciting day.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from fantasy sports failure syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our fantasy draft guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros911.com for your fantasy sports failure syndrome now.
Fantasy versus reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
And we're back on Eight in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We're brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and also FSC.FM. So, a lot of football going. We got 20 minutes remaining. We're expecting to hear from Timby Jones in just a moment. He's going to be telling us about his new book, Football Travels. You can get that on Amazon.com. A lot of interesting things go on in the life of a scout. Timby Jones is a pro scout, and there's a lot of things go on that fans don't know about, and it's in that book, and it's going to be really interesting to hear from him in just a little bit. So, but in the meantime, we definitely got to talk more football. I mean, why not, right? But going back to the Chargers-Giants game, I really have to question Mr. Tom Coughlin there, because, you know, if you guys didn't see the game, because, you know, you guys live in different areas and everybody's watching their own teams or whatever, but the situation was that the Chargers had thrown an interception, the Giants returned it to the 4-yard line, so they're about 4 yards away from a score, and it looked as though the Giants didn't want to score a touchdown. They were too scared to shove it in the end zone and cap it off, because the Giants were up by 3 with about 3 minutes to go. They were up 3 with 3 minutes to go, and they had 4 yards to go to score a touchdown. And they just, you know, it's like sometimes this Marty Schottenheimer style of football, where you're just too scared to throw a touchdown in the waning moments to cap off a win. It's just not smart football. Because you know what? It would work in college since the talent isn't there. So, for example, if you're, I don't know, if you're Notre Dame and, you know, you're playing against Navy, okay? You know, Navy, their quarterback's not that good, because he's at Navy. If he was good, he'd be at USC. But since he's not good, he's at Navy. So you've got a quarterback that's not good. You could pretty much say, all right, we're going to kick this field goal, and we're going to force you to score a touchdown, drive the length of the field against our defense with your quarterback who's not that good. Now, that would be fine if you're going up against a cream puff team like Navy, but you're not. There's no cream puffs in the NFL. Everybody has talent. Everybody can score. Everybody can make plays on offense. Everybody can put the ball in the end zone. I don't care if you're the Lions. You know, as bad as the Lions are, as much as we, they have a number one pick at quarterback and a number one pick at wide receiver. So even a team like that, horrible team, they can go the length of the field. Why? Because they have NFL talent. They have top-tier receiver, a young rookie quarterback that's the top pick in the draft. Anybody can drive on anybody on any part in the field. So for you to not score that touchdown, that's just asinine. You can't do that at the NFL level. If you want to coach in college, Tom Coughlin, you know, that's fine at Boston College. If you want to do that in the ACC, that's fine. Because you got Steve Weatherford, a quarterback at Florida State. They can't drive the ball down the field. They can't drive the ball 85 yards. But Phillip Rivers, oh, he can. And he did. So I want to read this. I want to read this to you guys because you might not have watched it here. So this is the final giant drive that I'm talking about here. It's first and goal from the four. All right, with 3:14 to go, Brandon Jacobs, he runs for 3 yards. Penalty, holding, no play. So now it's first and goal from the 14. Okay, then they pass to Hicks. No gain. All right, fine. Timeout San Diego, you know, because they have to burn timeout. Second and goal from the 14. It's second and goal from the 14. And they run the ball. You know, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. Timeout San Diego. You're forcing them to burn the timeouts, but you're not trying to score. I have a big problem with the second and goal play from the 14. It's almost like a give-up play. You're not trying to score a touchdown. You're just pussyfooting around the fact that you have to make a play. So, third and goal from the 9. All right? It's third and goal from the 9, and they run it again. So, you got two plays right there that cost you the ball game. It pretty much cost you the ball game. You can't do that. Again, you can't do that at the NFL level. If you were playing Navy, you could do that. You say, fine, Navy, go 80 yards on the road against my defense and score a touchdown. But you do that to Phillip Rivers, and you pay for it. So I'm almost glad that that plan blew up in his face, Tom Coughlin, because that's just the wrong way to play. That's Marty Schottenheimer. That's any losing coach that's ever lost a big game. You know, Jeff Fisher, the only big game he's ever won was that little fluke miracle play. And that was about it for him. So you do that at the NFL, you lose. And that's all I got to say about that. Like Forrest Gump here. That's all I got to say about that. So, yeah, this is 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank the action in the chat room is picking up. I want to thank everybody for doing that. And also, of course, we have to thank the NFL Draft Bible guys, NFLDraftBible.com. We've got to mention collegefootballinsiders.com and FC.fm. Definitely got to check out those other two websites if you haven't already. And other bit of news going on. We got Baltimore and Cleveland coming up. Normally, we wouldn't care about this game, but it becomes a little interesting on Monday night because they're getting a little ticked off. They're getting ticked off that their team's not good. They haven't made any progress at all. It's pretty much it's like they've been an expansion team for the last 10 years. They've had two good seasons in the last decade. So fans are getting a little ticked off there. And what they're going to do, they're going to purposely sit out. And it's pretty much like they're going to boycott the kickoff. There's going to be roughly 20,000 empty seats, and fans will file in late as a protest to the Browns. Like, hey, guys, why not, you know, how about you be good for a year, you know? Like, give us a little something. If you suck for the last 10 years, give us, like, one good year. So, I think this is a good idea by the fans to boycott their favorite team. And that's the thing, you know. I think teams take advantage of the fact that their fans are so loyal. You know, it's like there's no incentive for teams to improve if, you know, they know that fans will come to them anyway. Like, you know, if Browns, and I know that my stadium's going to be packed every year, my records, it's pretty much my records are irrelevant. You know, if we go 0-16, we still have fans coming. So why improve the team? But now the fans have forced the hand of the Browns. They're saying, hey, we're not going to take it anymore. We're actually going to sit out the kickoff, and we're going to embarrass you on national TV because you've embarrassed us for the last decade. You know, ever since you've come into the league, it's been bad pick after bad pick. You know, Tim Couch, Gerard Warren, you know, the list goes on and on. Quincy Morgan, was that the number? There was some receiver that didn't work out. And, you know, like, that's just a long list of names. It's just, you know, fans can't take it anymore. So, you know, I really applaud the fans for sticking up for something. You know, it's like time to make a change. And I wish more fans of more bad teams would do this. Like, what, if you're a Cubs fan, why don't you boycott the Cubs? Hey, we're sick of losing. We haven't won in 100 years. Do something about it, or we're not going to show up. But, you know, Cub fans, they're suckers, so they don't make a stand, you know. It's like there's a difference between being loyal and being a sucker. And if you don't do anything about a certain situation, like what the Browns fans are doing, if you don't do anything, you're just being a sucker. So I think more fans should take it upon themselves, because they really – fans have a lot more power than they really think. If they all band together, like what they're doing in Cleveland, they can accomplish things. And we've already seen some movement at the top in Cleveland. The GM just recently got fired. And I'd like to think that it has something to do with this little boycott that they're doing, you know? I think that it has a lot to do with it. It's probably what forced their hand. So, without any further ado, we have to bring in our guy. I've been telling you about his book, Football Travels. You can get it on Amazon.com. The Life and Times of a Football Scout. Here we go. It's Timby Jones on the line. How you doing, Mr. Jones?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm waiting to hear about this book.
Well, let me just say this right here. This is my slogan, what I use for the fans. If the fans only knew, because all they see is what they see in front of them in the media, but behind the scenes, there's so many crazy things going on that you would be like, wow. And that's
what kind of stuff can we expect in this book?
Oh, man, I got stories about how some professional players made it all the way to the NFL with no college experience. I got stories about agents fighting over players, runners fighting over players, well-known college coaches screw kids over and hurt their chances of playing in the NFL. I mean, like I say, it would definitely won't bore you. I'll just say that.
Well, you, give us a little tease of a story that's in the book.
Well, the story about the two agents that had a fight.
Okay.
One of the agents is very well known in the business right now today. I just say that. I mean,
okay.
Matter of fact, I don't even think this agent know I know this about him, but. The other agent that had the fight, he was a very good friend of mine. He passed away, and he told me this story before he died. And like I say, that's all I'm going to say about it, because I don't want to give away too much. It's just something you'll have to read, because, like I say, it was kind of funny, but hey, it is what it is. That's why I say if the fans only knew what go on. So they'll enjoy reading this book because, like I say, it's no sugarcoating. It's the real deal, man. Like I say, fans, they'll be like reading some of these stories and they'll be like, wow, that's interesting. I put it like this. They'll be begging for more.
Oh, man, this guy's such a tease. He tells us about the fight, but he doesn't tell us why'd they go fight? Well, what happened with the two agents?
Well, what happened was this well-known agent that's still in business today, he tried to steal a client from my friend who was also an agent. And my friend, he wasn't too happy about that. He heard about it. He even warned the guy. One time he said, look, I don't appreciate you doing what you're doing. So if it happened again, you know, we're going to have words. So this agent, I guess he thought, you know, well, I ain't worried about it, blah, blah, blah. And here it is, my friend, I give you a little hint. He was like about 6'9", about 260 pounds. And here it is, this other little agent who was trying to steal his client. He was maybe 5'9". 160 pounds soaking wet. So, I mean, and he went after one of his clients again, and next thing you know, they had words in a hotel lobby because it was at an all-star game. And he had words with this agent and told him, look, I told you about it. And what's real funny is this little guy, he was acting like he really was going to do something to this big guy, making a scene in the lobby, but my friend, he said, no, I don't want to do it like that. I don't want to, you know, I'm a professional, so I handle it another kind of way. And I won't tell you how he handled it. You'll have to read the book.
They'll have to
like
read
I
the
say,
book.
Oh, man, it's something else. In another occasion, I was sitting right there and seeing this with my own eyes. Two runners, those are the guys that work for agents. They were actually going at it, having words, and one of them just slapped him. One of the runners just slapped the other runner. And after he slapped him, he came and asked me, did I see it? I said, I'm just chilling, man. But he knew I had seen the whole thing. But I just pretended like I'm just sitting there watching and not really getting involved. And he got on the phone and made this call, you know, I mean, he was calling this other guy everything but a child of God.
That is something, man.
Hey, and what's so ironic about it, I won't tell you, but at the end of the story, you'll read about what's so ironic about this whole situation that went down. So, like I say, it's pretty interesting. I mean, fans won't believe it. Like I say, there'll be one more. And believe it or not, I already got two or three more stories for another book.
Oh, man, this guy's just loaded with stories, man. You can check it out on Amazon.com. It's Football Travels. That's by Timmy Jones. So now, we only have 4 minutes remaining, Mr. Jones. So I want to talk about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They didn't suck last week. They actually won with their silly-looking uniforms. How do you feel about Josh Freeman? Is he the real deal or what?
Yeah, he the real deal. I mean, he's still going to go through some growing pains and everything, but I think he is the quarterback of the future. I mean, I watched most of the game. You don't have those happy feet. And he really reads the defense well, so I think they really, really got their man for the future. So, and I think those creamsicle uniforms helped that too.
So it wasn't even about Josh Freeman; it was about the uniforms.
No. I was just teasing. But no, he's a real good quarterback. I think in like I say, by 3 or 4 years, he should be one of the top guys in the league. I think in just that length of time, because he looks so poised. He makes good decisions. So he'll be a pretty good one in the years to come for the Bucs. So seem like they have got their man. He was a first rounder, so I guess they knew what they were doing when they selected him.
Well, I guess they had a good feeling about him, and we're having a good feeling about him too right now. But do you think they could? Do you think this is something they could build on, or is this just like one fluky little win, and they're gonna have a horrible season?
I think they'll build on this because I don't really know the schedule for the rest of the year, but I'm looking for them probably to win maybe 3 or 4 more games for the year. But I think I would have put this kid in the lineup a little earlier than what they did.
Why do you think they waited so long?
I don't know if they was really trying to give this guy another chance or they just want to see how things were panning out with these other two quarterbacks, Leftwich and Brian Johnson. Were they just waiting for the right moment, you know? And I guess when they saw that these two other quarterbacks weren't getting the job done and the season pretty much halfway over, they say, well, we'll just go with the rookie, not throw him in there and let him just learn on the job. So I think it was a good move. Like I say, I think I would have did it maybe a couple of games earlier. So, but they won't be a playoff contender for, I think, maybe not this year, next year. And their defense, you know, they always have had a defense, but I still think they got rid of some key players on that defense.
Yeah, they pretty much gutted their whole team.
Yeah, I think they should have kept Derrick Brooks another year at least and let some of them other guys learn under him and, you know, with his experience and everything. So, but at least they got that quarterback situation solved because, you know, that's always a big puzzle of any team, you know. I was watching the Denver Broncos last night, and that Orton guy, wow.
Oh, you're not a big fan of Orton, huh?
No, and I think the Broncos are really finna come back to their earth now because...
Yep, I agree.
I mean, they really shouldn't have won as many games as they should have because... They beat Dallas and New England at home, but they were close games. But if they was to play them now, I don't think they could beat them. And also, they got that miracle play on the last play of the game with Cincinnati and won that game. And then they beat the Cleveland Browns. So, I mean, they could easily beat, like, one, they done lost two now. They could easily beat 2-5, I guess, or 2-6. So... But all those things that happen, they just happen, and that's just part of football. So can't really go back and look on it. It's just a good thing they started off hot because now the San Diego Chargers look like they're getting ready to roll again. So I guess for this week, the Denver Broncos fans will be cheering for the Philadelphia Eagles because I can just imagine if they go into Washington next week, the Broncos will lose to the Redskins. I mean, it'll be like, wow, the media just come down on that team.
Yeah, that's definitely what that media would just destroy them on that. But unfortunately, Timmy, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. I want to thank everybody for participating. Timmy Jones, I want to thank West Coast Pat for calling in earlier. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank the NFLDraftBible.com. collegefootballinsiders.com, and also fsc.fm. That's all the time we have. I'm your host, Football Rob, signing off.